Hello, it's nice to meet you. I loved what I played of Grounded 2, and I was telling Malik this. It's so great to see that even though the teen is being shrunk down again, obviously, and it's been a minute, it doesn't really feel like we're losing the progress that we made in Grounded. And I wanted to ask, what was that? How did you figure out how to implement the Omni tool and everything to make things sort of feel faster in the early game for returning players who might be a little bit hesitant about, oh, well, I lost all my progress, I have to start over? What was the thought process behind trying to bring new players up to speed, but also making returning players feel like it's not too much of a slog in the beginning?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. And I appreciate it because nobody else has asked me this one yet.
So, really?
So I think that's great. So when we were talking about that, it was, we did put a lot of thought into it, but ultimately the solution that is in there, and it may not be immediately evident to people, like hopefully it's not like, doesn't slap them in the face. All the stuff that was the first like many hours of Grounded to just try to figure out how to eat and drink and sleep, all of that stuff is like basically right around that first ranger station. So you don't have to travel super far to try and figure out where there's clover. You don't have to travel super far to find dry grass and, you know, get stuck getting attacked by soldier ants or whatever else. We intentionally took some of those early game things, or most all of the early game things, and tried to put them sort of radially expanding outward from that ranger station. So hopefully, if you're a returning player and you kind of like, even if we change some of the recipes and stuff a little bit, you kind of get it and you can kind of jam through like setting up your first base and getting your first tier weapons and sort of getting past all of that stuff within a couple of hours, I think pretty easy, which then fast track you to go like find your buggy or whatever else. And if you're a returning player and if you're a new player and you're just looking at it for the first time, you still have that sort of sense of wonder and that sense of challenge of finding things, but it will still go a little bit more quickly than I think it did in the first game. We do purposefully hold the player's hand just a little bit more so that, again, hopefully new players maybe won't bounce off the experience because it's too difficult or hard to get a handle on.
This is a question that like probably kept us up at night for most of it because most of early development, because trying to balance out, one, what do you retain and keep with a sequel that people love already? And it's like millions of people like enjoy it. So like, how many people we make mad for changes that we do make? And then, but also those changes, to your point, that are necessary, because then they'll feel like, well, you didn't change enough, so this doesn't feel like enough justification for it being a sequel. So striking that balance, you know, was very, very challenging. And I'm going to say things that are going to sound super obvious in terms of answering this question, which was what we did was kind of like the spirit of the game in and of itself, which is testing with players very, very early on and often. And when we did all of our player testing from day one, from the moment we had a playable build, we always had a segment of players who were returning Grounded players and a segment of players who were brand new to the experience. And so that kept us honest. And I honestly, we did playtest probably around every major like milestone sequencing. So like every 6 to 8 weeks, we'd have these playtests just to kind of practice what we knew, what we were kind of coming in for, even though yesterday, sure enough, just like I kind of expected, but maybe even more so, like, yep, that tonnage of like feedback is here to stay. But being able to practice to react and have that balance between new and existing players, I think the important piece of it was making sure that that was front and center early for us in development, and then making sure we were holding ourselves accountable with that player feedback to ensure that balance between early game onboarding, but also enough new hotness to get people excited if you were a returning player too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt, so my partner was playing it for the first time and he was like, wait, how do you do this? Obviously, I was just zooming through the beginning because I knew how to do things. It was very funny to see him struggle with certain things, but I think his main thing was understanding, oh, I shouldn't just fight everything I come across, right? So it's kind of like that new player thing of, okay, so it makes sense. So I feel like it made whatever y'all did, I mean, obviously talking with the community, which I feel like you have been very good at doing throughout the entirety of Grounded 1. So just continuing that obviously gave you a lot of feedback on how to help new players and also returning players, because I was a little bit worried because I thought, oh man, I have to leave my mansion in Grounded 1. I mean, I get it, but it sucks. But it seems like everything is kind of streamlined, so it should be easier for me to be able to base build, which is really what I love about Grounded. do you feel like after launch, a lot of the feedback was the same things that you were getting from the community in early testing?
Always you uncover things you were never going to discover because you just can't test at the critical mass that you need to. Like, a lot of people played, which is awesome, and we're so happy. And that uncovers a lot of things that, like, we try our best to, like, capture it all. But, like, you just, you know, you can't have, I don't want to, like, spoil anything, because I'm sure at some point someone's going to want to put out a press release for it. But you can't have hundreds of thousands or millions of people. Like, you can't replicate that in an internal environment to uncover those things. So I think that we were pretty aware of some of, like, the improvements or the challenges that, like, people might run into, but there definitely were a handful that popped up that were kind of surprising. And I think we're getting out even a hot fix, like, today for certain things, like, just to be, we were prepared to react quickly, I guess, because we were prepared that there will be, like, you know, feedback and areas that we could improve really, really quickly. So we kind of had that in the plans, but it's still never, I don't know. I don't know if we can ever plan enough. Like, we can never be prepared for every component of things.
You just never test a scale, right? So, like, the thing where we're hot fixing, we were, like, aware of it. We thought it was super low in terms of its reproducibility, and there's some workarounds for it. And we're like, okay, for the couple of people this happens to,
yeah,
we can, like, deal with them on customer service, and then we'll have a fix for it, like, really soon. And then, you know, a couple hundred thousand people play the game, and it explodes for much larger percentage than we thought, and they're like, oh, you know, crap, we kind of screwed this one up, let's fix it as quickly as possible. So you know, and that kind of stuff happens with every launch, regardless of whether you're dealing with community or not. But I think I've been more attuned to things going wrong than going right.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of what I have to dial into. And I mean, most of the response has been great, but it's just been kind of looking and seeing, like, hey, okay, you know, for the people that are out there that aren't enjoying the game, like, what are they not enjoying about it? And are there things there that we should be looking at and grabbing onto and can fix and adjust? And so, you know, I don't know that there's a whole lot of surprises. There's just drinking from a fire hose right now. So,
yeah. And I think that, to Chris's point, the plague is, it's so hard when you're, like, when it's out in the world to be, like, to watch any positive, like, you're, like, zero in on, like, okay, what did somebody was frustrated by, or what stopped someone's progress, or, like, whatever it might be. But I guess I will say, like, what I'm happy has happened is the things we hoped people really loved about the experience, and we were pretty confident they would like about the experience, everyone seems to be, like, there seems to be a pretty good consensus that, like, that's what people love. Like, the buggies are really resonating with people, and people are enjoying that. You know, while there was some adjustment to the Omni tool for some super core versus not, like, people understand it, and, like, it's starting to work for people. The fantasy and the improvements we made to the, like, the visual fidelity and combat and all those things that we put a lot of effort into, those seem to be connecting really well. And I guess if we take a second, because you're getting us, like, day one after, I think in a week or so we'll go, oh wow, people like that more than we expected, or people were more excited than we expected about these sort of things, which we're just kind of pumped about. And I think the other big piece that maybe surprises me, I'm sorry to ramble on, Stella,
it's okay,
how much people are, like, projecting out into the future and what they want out of the future. And I think it's awesome, because that's the best part about early access, is, like, it's the potential that we can then build to, and, like, the foundation that we've established with yesterday. And so I think that's the one that will be surprising to me, is, like, what people want next. And I've seen some suggestions and comments and features that I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that was something that people were so, like, adamant about. So those might be some of the things that will be really interesting, and I'm excited to work with the community on moving forward.
Okay, so it seems that the plan forward is not fully set. Like, there are core things that you want to hit, but if the community gives you suggestions that maybe the dev team's like, oh, you know what? Actually, that might be kind of fun to implement. It seems like that can be worked into the upcoming roadmap.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, one of the reasons that you saw, like, we kind of put out our roadmap day one, mm-hmm. like we said we were going to do, you know, one of the reasons that we talked about wanting to spread our updates out more was for that in particular. It was because it gives us more time to firmly digest any adjustments we should make to our plans. Like, there's bigger, kind of more temple things that we absolutely want to drive forward that we're like, yes, we're going to do this. But, like, we want the time to react. We want the time to adjust. And so that is 100% has been kind of part of the planning day one is to give room for change to occur, even on some of the plans that we've laid.
When we were talking about, you know, early access and what we needed here, it was really about having a feature set that laid enough of a foundation for us to get all the feedback from the community. Because, all right, I like our combat. I think it's fun. We made some changes to it with, you know, buggies can block, and now you have a dash, and, you know, we have the archetypes that I think all of those things are working great. But if we put that out into the community and people are like, oh, this is kind of ho-hum, I thought you guys were going to make combat better, then we're going to, you know, we want the ability to then say, like, okay, you know, let's focus less on this thing that we thought that we were going to focus on, and let's go, like, attack combat and make it better. And I don't think that's the situation that we're in, but I mean, that's kind of what we wanted. And that's why there's only two buggies. Like, for a while, we were talking about having a bunch of buggies in the game. And we were like, yeah, man, we're trying to ride everything. And then as we, you know, finished one, we were like, you know what? We really should just have two of them in there so the community can see them and play them. And then we can figure out and, like, lean into what's working and not working and use that as our path for figuring out what kind of buggy progression we want to have and what is the next buggy and you know, should they have mutations or skills, or can I, you know, sort of evolve them or whatever? Like, what are the things the community really wants to do?
Do buggies need shoes? Like, that was an important one of, like, how many shoes do we give for each buggy? Like,
well, that's these, yeah, are all things. It's gotta be one per each leg, right? You can't leave one leg out. I mean, it's
right. You
know, I don't know.
Two shoes is hard enough, but eight? Yeah. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know what I mean?
That just made me think of that meme. I don't know if you've seen it, where it's like, oh, if a horse wore pants, would it be like this? Or would it be like, and it makes me think of, oh, if a buggy wore shoes, how would they wear it? You know?
Okay, now you just put this out to the world that I did not even consider, is buggy pants. And now now we have to make this meme for buggies of, like, how do buggy pants work?
I don't know. In the grounded sense of things, for some reason, I feel like buggy pants are all, like, bloomers and underwear.
So you know what's funny? I'm sorry. We're going to go. Now you've sent us down the spiral.
I love that.
Just like the mants have, like, the mant underwear,
yeah,
that we have. Like, we have, like, a mant skin in our founder's tag that has, like the, which is, like, one of my favorites, that has, like, little whitey tighties. Yeah, we do need buggy briefs.
Okay.
Buggy briefs. Right. Sorry.
That's adorable. No, I love it.
Breaking news.
Buggy briefs.
I mean, you've said it here now, so it has to happen, at least for me. So, you know, there you go. yeah, dude, I love Grounded. I did not think I was going to love Grounded as much as I do, because I hate insects. I hate them so much. I think they're so creepy. Even if a ladybug lands on me, I freak out. It's one of those things. It's weird. I can't explain it. But playing Grounded, I ended up just falling in love with the world, the characters. And honestly, in Grounded 1, after full release, I really didn't have any complaints about the game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, I wanted, you know, faster movement. But at that point, I had my mutations up, so my stamina was kind of always regenerating. So with Grounded 2, I genuinely had no idea what I would want from the game. But it seems like you kind of predicted that. I think also because you are so in touch with the community, I was like, I don't know what I want. I just want more of what Grounded 1 was. But it seems like you took that and just updated it to more modern standards, which, I mean, Grounded 1 had already been upgraded to modern standards. So it was very interesting for me to sit down and be like, okay, well, what are they going to do? I love the focus on story. I feel like in Grounded 1, it was a little bit harder for me to focus on. It was kind of always like an afterthought to me. I was like, okay, I'm going to go build my base. Oh no, I unlocked this new thing. And I wasn't really sure what to do next. So I know you mentioned being more handholdy, but I actually really like that a lot, because I feel like, oh, I have to do this in order to progress the story specifically, but I can mess around in here. So with speaking to your narrative team, what was it like trying to make a sequel and find a reason to shrink the kids down again?
So this is going to sound, and I'm sure Kevin, who hopefully at some point starts making the rounds, because I love Kevin and the narrative team. This was the easiest part. I would make an argument. This is the easiest part for us because we were so excited about story. We were so excited about the premise of the story, and it was something that we knew we could expand on meaningfully in Grounded 2 that would make it feel hopefully fresh and new without actually undercutting what makes Grounded special, but it just purely enhancing it. And it's something that we both as Obsidian and Eidos, you know, have a track record of doing pretty well. So I would say, like, out of anything, like, other than like making sure that the quests didn't get too handholdy and didn't get too prescriptive while integrating the story, establishing the world building, establishing characters like Sloan, having the teens kind of be older and reacting to not only the world more, but also just what happened to them in the past. That part, I think, just kind of came pretty natural. I think the hard part now is going to be how we breadcrumb a little bit throughout the course of early access and then making sure that we just stick the landing when it comes to 1.0. But the story itself, I think, is like one that out of anything else was like the relatively speaking, the easiest for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel differently. You feel the same or? No,
well, so
it's hard to.
I agree. So we had the story basically day one on the project. Like we knew what the overarching story was going to be. I think Marcus has a little bit of like the rose colored glasses on.
Of course I do.
Because we did definitely have some hard things to adjust to along the way. Like for a while there was no Sloan Beaumont.
That's true.
Actually.
This is true.
And we're like, how are we telling this story? And actually it was Adam Brennecke, the game director from Grounded One, who like came in one day and was like, I think you should have an NPC that you talk to. And we're like, should be leader of Omnit. And like, then that fell into place. And then the narrative team developed that character and of course nailed it. Sloan is amazing. And so there were some pieces that had to be figured out along the way. And I think that they got figured out really well. And I love the way that it turned out, but there were some like,
you're right.
There's a big gaping hole here. We don't know why this isn't working. And then, you know, somebody figures out how to do the right thing there and make it all work. And I would even say like 6 months ago, there was like some issues in the story, but they all, you know, smart people work on it and figured it out and it came out.
Chris is right. It's just cause I come in throw out ideas that are ridiculous. Like buggy briefs, which are now a thing in the world. But I think you're right. You're right, Chris, like to correct myself. I think the spirit of telling the story and what story we wanted to tell came relatively easy. Tactically, the implementation of how are we doing this, both in a survival setting where story can't be like as in your face as like one of our RPGs, and in an early access setting of like, how are we parsing story properly? Yeah. You're right. Those ones were a little more nuanced and tougher, but still relatively speaking, me outside feels like not as
well. Again, the big story, we had a day one. We knew exactly what the big story was and everybody agreed on it. It wasn't even like there was that much debate. We were just like, yep, story sounds great. Let's do it.
I can't wait for the other part. I this is why I'm so excited for like us to like release more stuff. There's components of it that I think will really strike people here in the field. So I'm excited about that.
I mean, you already got that when I saw poor Burgle laying down and is hostage. That already tore me apart. I was like, we just got him to you. Oh, it's fine. It's fine though. And it's so funny because you do talk about these story beats and, you know, giving little breadcrumbs, but I think the most I've seen online is, you can finish the story so fast, we need more. And it's like, yes, we're all going through the first phase of Grounded again, which it feels very funny, but it feels almost like, oh, the community's back together again, you know? Because after 1.0, it kind of feels like everyone dispersed. So it does feel kind of like, it's so weird. I do actually use y'all as an example of what early access should look like, right? You have a roadmap. You're very clear with your community. You have an end product, first of all, and you have an end date, which is amazing. And you deliver on everything, even if things change a little bit. So obviously, when I heard about Grounded 2, I was like, okay, no matter how long it takes, you could take like 5 years. It's fine. I think the community would trust y'all to deliver good content for us.
To be super clear, we will not try to take 5 years.
Well, I mean,
appreciate that love and that trust, but I don't know how people would feel about that.
Well, I mean, if the 5 years are spent on the buggy pans, I think we would understand.
That's fair.
Obviously, very technical. Very technical. When you were greenlit for Grounded 2, were you trying to hit the same deadlines as Grounded 1, like trying to share the same timeline or trying to fit everything into the same timeline that you had for Grounded 1?
I think we used it as like a, because we, it's always helpful in development. It's really, really hard until you really get into it of like accurately predicting, like, this is when this will be done at this quality bar at this time frame. So we use that as a reference point, right? Because we knew size of the team, how long it took to do each update. We learned a lot from like early access and the cadence and all that sort of stuff. So that was like definitely a framework for us of like, hey, we know we can do this in this amount of time with this size team. So I think that was a good baseline, but I don't think it's our starting point for our rough draft. And I think just like kind of you spoke to of like how our roadmap can adapt and change, I think that's how we're gonna approach this one too. It's like, yeah, we have a roadmap, we have a rough time frame. We probably are gonna try to stick to, like, roughly speaking, the scope of Grounded 1 in terms of like the amount of time it takes us to go through early access. But if we get like amazing ideas or we're inspired by something by the community, like, what we're gonna try to do first is make sure we get it right and that people are having fun and having a good time, not necessarily try to squeeze ourselves into an exact box to say like, we must be, you know, at this date for the anniversary of this time frame to hit this thing. I don't think we're gonna.
Yeah, we start, well, at least with Grounded 2, you know, we started with a set of goals and some bars for how we wanted to accomplish those goals to get into early access. And it started there and then sort of built our schedule around that.
Yeah.
And you need to have a schedule because people are people. And if you don't have a schedule and some dates and goals that you try to hit, and, you know, I fiercely try to hit them, then we'll just noodle on stuff forever. So then it will take 5 years. so then you have a schedule, but then, you know, you got to kind of be agile within that. But no, it was all about like, you know, we knew we wanted to have buggies. Okay, we know that we want to be in the park. Park has to be roughly this big. We know we're going to age up to teens. We know we want, you know, sort of like roughly this many insects, this many new, this many returning, we just kind of build out all those goals and then say, like, how long is this going to take? And then, you know, and if it takes way, way too long, mm-hmm. then we can scale back on that or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was never made towards a date until the end of last year when we said, let's try and ship in the summer. And then,
yeah, I guess there was one kind of thing.
That's where you know, at some point decide that.
To your point about like nostalgia. So like, it was like, well, this is basically the 5 year anniversary. Like, let's try to be close to that. Like, maybe there was a little bit of excitement of just for the community of that being the time frame, but we felt like we were ready to go too. So we wouldn't have done that just for that reason.
Well, congratulations on launch. It is, I feel like it has just had really good positive feedback and people just want more, which is great. But also the map being huge allows people to explore more off the gate anyways, which is great. So I have loved Grounded. It has been one of the games that I have really fallen in love with. I think it does a lot of things right that I think survival crafting games should do, like deposit all into different categories. Like when you have the stuff set up, oh my God, I go to other games and I don't have that and it bothers me. So thank you so much for making amazing quality of life changes to the game that I now want in other games.
You're welcome. I would say too, the other thing that I know we all do and look at is like, you know, one principle we kind of live by in general is like building upon past success. And that's not just our own, it's like others. Like we're always looking at like, what are other survival games doing? Like a Grounded 1 was inspired a ton by La Forest and Subnautica and things that they did well. And so like, I know it's gonna sound cheesy, but I don't care. I view it like we have this amazing Grounded community, and then there's an even broader, like, who likes these type of games? Who likes these survival games that have a little bit of a story element, that have these like over the top fantasies components to them? Because we're kind of playing those too, and we're seeing what they do, and we hope that they borrow from us and we want to borrow from them, because it just makes all those games better. So like, as much as, like, you know, we love that we contribute things that maybe other survival games don't, I promise you our eyes are open to what other folks are doing too, and we're like, oh, that would be a way better way to do this instead. And so, and I love that collaboration. It's like beyond just, you know, just the community aspect, it's like it's bigger than that, which is just fun.
I guess that's all that's it for me with the interview part. Oh, but I did just, again, I promise this is not just me trying to give you compliments like the whole time. It's just, I genuinely do love this game a lot. And I've been telling people to play it. But I did, so I play hoops primarily. And I did love that when you first drop into the world and you're not able to reach something, she talks about her knee brace and her knee, like, oh, I could do this if I had my knee. It's just little touches of character, like just that brings the characters to life. I love that. So I don't know if that was a narrative team, design team. Really great. It makes me feel more fully immersed in the world. So.
Oh, that's cool. I'm so happy you highlight these things. And I'm sure every person in the, like, sometimes people think like those one-off kind of like just barks might be kind of ignored. So that means a lot. I know that means a lot to everybody that you care about that. Hoops is also my favorite character. So I'm glad that you like that stuff. I have one more question for you. This is a risky question.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you are a Grounded fan.
Yes.
Go ahead. This is your chance right now in this moment. What are you interested in seeing next from Grounded 2?
Well, okay, that's hard for me because, like I said, I just wanted more of Grounded 1. I was okay with that, and I saw Buggies. So I was like, oh my God, amazing. I think the most recent thing that really sticks out in my mind is in Grounded 1, there was that tabletop with the tabletop role-playing game, right? The little dungeon thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I would love an actual mini dungeon thing in there. Because I think before you could just roll the dice or whatever, but I think entering the actual castle and seeing, instead of just the statues and the figures that you can use to play the TTRPG, if stuff actually happened, that could be kind of cool. You know, even if it's like a bug hiding in a corner or something.
You want a fully fledged Moldorks dungeon. That's what I'm hearing from this, which I'm sure people would love to solve.
If we're doing like,
I love this. I'm
glad
that
fantasy stuff. Yes, I think that would be something that would be very cool.
Okay. All right. We'll have to, we'll digest that one. I knew that was a risky question on my part. I should probably stop doing that.
Yeah. You know, honestly, you gave me like a paper to write anything on, and I took it.
I love it. I love it.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for the time. Really appreciate this, and getting support like this, getting amplification, it means a ton, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm glad you're having fun with the game. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I refuse to play more of Grounded 2 until I finish Grounded 1's story. So I'm going to be doing that first, but I'm very excited.
Awesome.